Please join me in prayer. O Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take each of our hearts and set them on fire with love for Thee, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Invite all the young people forward to come on up for our sermon. Thank you, sir. Now, next week at this service, we're going to have 6 baptisms. Amen. That's exciting. Now, next week is Pentecost, where we're going to wear red, color of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire. Today, we have a different day. Now, we always have a reason for our art on the front of the bulletin. What do you think is happening here? By the way, this is from Cameroon, Africa, one of my favorite artists, Jesus Mafa School, which started in 1973. Can you see what's happening to Jesus in the red? What's happening there? It looks like he's being lifted up, right? God is taking him up into heaven. And this past Thursday, 3 days ago, is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was taken up to heaven. So he was resurrected. He walked around on the earth for about 40 days. And then he was called up to heaven by God. And the reading from that particular story, this is what it says. When Jesus has said this, as the disciples were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And that's exactly how Jesus will come back, in the same way as through a cloud, and when he comes back to visit us someday down in the future. But what I want to talk about today, in addition to Ascension Day, is our reading, which is called the Epistle from Revelation. And so your parents have that in front of them. And I wanted to share with you a little bit about that, the Revelation to St. John. And Revelation is not a book I would start with if you were studying the Bible. It's got a lot of apocalyptic and kind of funky stories that are kind of like, you got to really know what's going on. You know, even with 2 seminary degrees, it's hard to know sometimes. But one of the things that the author writes against is about the empire of the Roman Empire, who is the people who have been oppressing the disciples and things like that. So if you ever see the word beast written in Revelation, it's actually about the Roman Empire, because the author had to write in code. He had to write kind of in riddles, because otherwise they would have arrested him and he would have gone in jail and maybe worse. So in that reading it says, blessed are those who wash their robes. What that means is, blessed are the people who have kept their faith, who have kept their witness, despite the threat of the Roman Empire. And then it says, Jesus says, with this angel, I'm giving you the testimony of the churches, and the bride is the church, the New Jerusalem, and he says, come. And so what I want to talk to you today is about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always moving, always doing something. And we have a little bit of that Spirit in us when God ascended. We have what Thomas Merton once said. He said, we don't have to imitate Christ, but only animate him, because he is already in us. He's in each one of us. And so one of the ways to do that is to keep remembering that, or as Bishop Curry, our presiding bishop, says, keep the faith. Every time he would write a letter, he would write, keep the faith, Bishop Michael B. Curry, the 11th Bishop of North Carolina, or whatever now, the 27th bishop, Episcopal Bishop of the United States Episcopal Church. So we're continue, the Spirit helps us to practice the ministry. And the ministry that we do is the ministry of love. Because Bishop Curry says, if it's not about love, it's not about God. If it's not about love, it's not about God. Because God is love. And God is unconditional love, and he loves you more than you can possibly imagine. So when God is doing something, we have to get out of the way of the Spirit. We have to work with the Spirit, and we have to be able to say, okay, maybe this is something going on with God. And there was a great, wonderful, wonderful spiritual writer named Henry Nouwen, and I printed this in large print because I need it, but maybe you can see it too. It says, it was not I who chose God, but God who chose me first. And God chooses each one of us because he loves us and he wants us to be in relationship with him. And to be aware of that love and how much he cares for each one of us, just like your family does. So as I was thinking about the sermon today, I was thinking about our Wednesday morning book group. About a month ago, we read this really cool book, and the men's group read it. It's called Keep Christianity Weird. Is that a crazy? I know, that's like, I just saw your furrowed brow right there, Malcolm. What does that mean? Keep Christianity Weird. Well, another way could be keep Christianity authentic. Keep Christianity on edge. Because, see, Jesus would always say to the folks like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they'd say, you know what, it is the Sabbath day, but I'm going to heal this person because they're sick. Or, you know what, it's about the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. It's about what's in our hearts that is most important. And so this author, whose name is Michael Frost, in case anybody wants to get it, talks about how we need to be a little bit eccentric. And how we can, with that notion, we focus the shift on God more than ourselves. And that God is so great and merciful that we can't really put him in a box. Can you try to put God in a box? What do you think God would do? Break out. Yeah, right? But sometimes we do that because God cannot be put in a, you know, in a certain way. God is making God's self manifest in all kinds of ways. And that it's okay, we need those voices, those creative voices in our churches, because sometimes the church gets kind of complacent in talking about God and doesn't realize that sometimes God can manifest in different ways. I know a friend of mine who has a church on the East Coast that started a Saturday night service and they don't have a sermon. You know what they do instead? They sit around in a circle and talk about the Bible. They have a Bible study in the time of the sermon. What it means to each person. And more people are saying, you know, how can I find God in a way that is not necessarily in the traditional church? Now, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We love our tradition as well. At the same time, though, we have to understand that God is always working in new ways. And God comes to us in various people. So it's not necessarily about propping up the institution, but about doing the work of Jesus. And I want to tell you a story about what's happened to me about a month ago. I was downtown Fort Worth about a month ago, and it was hot, and it was the middle of the day, and I was walking around with some friends and looking at stuff. And then all of a sudden I heard over here, about half a block away, someone saying, I can't see, I can't see. Somebody help me, I can't see. And I looked over, and there on the bench was an African-American woman, an elderly woman, with a bag. She had a bag with her, and she had glasses. She said, I can't see, I can't see. Somebody help me. And, you know, before I really tuned in, I thought it was just somebody kind of doing, you know, crazy stuff on the street or whatever. And I realized that God said, go over to her. Go over to her and help her. I went over there and she couldn't see, and she was, I thought maybe she had gone blind, and she was doing this, and I said, ma'am, can I help you? I'm here. What do you need? She said, my friend is over there. I need my towel. I can't see you. Because she was sweating and it was hot and the sweat was pouring in her eyes and it probably stung and everything. And I said, well, who is it? And she tried to describe and I couldn't figure out who it was. So I said, I can't tell who it is, but I have a handkerchief and it's clean. Here's my handkerchief. She took it and took off her glasses and she wiped her face down and all the sweat was pouring down and she opened her eyes and she said, thank you. And I said, ma'am, do you have some water? Because it was hot. She says, I have some somewhere in my bag. I said, well, let me get you water. And you know, I was right there at that moment and that was a God thing because everybody else was just ignoring her. And I said, I can't just walk by this lady and let her suffer. So the Holy Spirit, God said to me, and the Holy Spirit said, go and help this lady. And it was just a simple thing. I've got plenty of handkerchiefs. She can keep that handkerchief. And then I saw a fireman over there, and I said, sir, this lady might need some assistance because she might be dehydrated. And I explained what had happened. He said, I'm on it. And they went over there, and I went on my way, but I kind of kept looking back. See, God does things. God comes to us in the Spirit for good things. Like, it took me 30 seconds to go help this lady, that's all. And now she was able to see because she didn't have anything to wipe off the sweat that was stinging her eyes and have a little bit of water. When we open our eyes and open our hearts, we can see God at work all around us. God is constantly doing something new, something exciting, something about love and of healing that gives us that peace which passes all understanding. So I want you to go out this week. I've got some homework for you. I know it's summertime. I know you're all out of school, but I'm a teacher first before I was a priest, so I'm going to give you some homework. Okay? When you go out this week, I want you to open your heart and open your eyes and see where you see God at work in the world. Because it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're 2 or 102, God's always coming in our midst and doing great and wonderful, beautiful things. And that's the beautiful thing about God, is it's always about love and compassion and friendship and kindness and concern. And we can be that this week for other people. If you agree with me, can you say amen? Amen. Now, I didn't quite hear that. I'm a little old. I got to hear that again. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you guys so much.